I'm super happy. Are you happy? Welcome to the Be You, Find Happy podcast. Here you'll find tips and tricks to inspire you on your way to happiness, to live a courageous life of authenticity, and learn how to speak your truth with grace. I'm Michaela Johnson, and welcome to our podcast. Jan, Jillian, welcome to the Be You, Find Happy podcast. Guys, we have great guests for you today that are right in my wheelhouse. I cannot wait to chat all things boundary badassery with them. Jan and Jillian, can you share a little bit about yourselves and how you got into the fields that you got into as MFTs and what you're working on?
So we got into marriage and family therapy counseling, which led us to where we are today in terms of boundaries and coachings and conflict resolution. But we started volunteering with kids who ran away from home and helped mediate the kids and the parents in order to have the kids return safely back home, which is what inspired us to sort of work with people of all different types of backgrounds, demographics and dynamics, from family to professional relationships. And so that's sort of how we got started. And then we went on to get certified in mediation to really help people resolve conflict as well.
Are you guys twins? I just have to ask.
Yes, we are identical twins.
Okay, because I'm like seeing double for sure. That is, the twins thing. I have sets of twins on both sides in my families. And my mom thought for sure I would have twins. I didn't. but, you know, it's fascinating. I have fraternal twins on one side and identical twins on the other. And so the twin thing, I just geek out on it. It's amazing how they can be like so far apart and feel each other. And it's just really a neat thing. So it's ironic that twins are talking about boundaries, right? Because I mean, share this space in the womb together for 10 months. So you definitely know something about boundaries. This is really fantastic. And, you know, I talk a lot about boundaries with my clients. And one of the things that I am a big proponent of is that boundaries are on you to uphold. So you can set them all day long, but you can't expect the other person to respect them. It's on you to uphold them. If you're going to create them, you have to be prepared to defend them. It's kind of like the analogy of like the neighbor's donkey's coming over. He's chomping on your petunias. You don't like that. So you want to set a boundary with the neighbor about the donkey. But at the end of the day, you're the one that's got to build the fence. You're the one that's got to protect the petunias. You can't just expect that your neighbor is going to honor your wishes. What are your thoughts on boundaries?
So That actually, I'm glad you brought that up. So that's probably one of the biggest misconceptions that we deal with in regards to boundaries. Yes, we are responsible for our own boundaries, but we see boundaries more of a we mindset rather than a me mindset. So while we do need to protect what it is that we need to feel safe in those interactions, we also do a negotiation back and forth between both parties saying, obviously we have this problem. And then we align on the shared value of how we are going to resolve this, so each party feels respected within that relationship itself. So we come from more of a we mindset when it comes to setting boundaries.
Even though I think we have our personal boundaries too for ourselves. So I think we separate the whole personal and relationship boundaries when it comes to honing in on our value and elevating and growing our relationships to the next level.
And what if somebody just consistently disrespects them? What if they're just, you know, maybe their narcissistic mindset, maybe they're, you know, just kind of an ego person who thinks that their way's the only way and everyone else can take the highway. How do you navigate that?
Yes. So sometimes when somebody is stuck in that fixed mindset or a me mindset and they can only see their perspective and they're not willing to work with you in order to elevate the relationship as a whole, then we have to consider, okay, is this person, do they have my best interest in this relationship? Can we, you know, collaborate and can we reach a mutual aligned agreement and compromise? Or do I need to redefine this relationship for my own safety and figure out where this person fits into my life or whether they no longer fit into my life if they're absolutely, you know, emotionally, psychologically, or even physically like abusive?
Yeah, that's kind of the thing that's what I see it as. So when we talk about powerlessness, and I know you guys have a section in your book on that, what I come up against a lot is, hey, my partner's an alcoholic, and when they drink, they treat me this certain way. I don't see that as a boundary negotiation. I see that as redefining the relationship entirely based upon its toxicity. How do you guys navigate that one?
Yes, I will agree with you. In the case of any sort of abuse, then yes, it would be more of a unilateral boundary to protect yourself when there's a case of some sort of drug or alcohol or physical or psychological abuse. Yes.
So the idea that, you know, we're going to find the thing, and I do this a lot in my work with couples, we're going to find the thing that we agree on, right? Because you can look outside and say the sky is blue, and I can look outside and say it's white, and you can look outside and say the sky is gray, and that is our perception, and our perception is our reality, and that is our inherent truth. However, where we struggle is when we have to go on the news at 5 o'clock and have a collective sharing of what we believe the sky looks like. And so we can agree then that maybe there's no rainbows, or we can agree then that maybe it's not raining. And so finding that kind of common ground, as you guys are describing, how do you encourage people that are really struggling to find the thing that they can align on?
So we really help people identify their top five values for themselves, but also how are they going to honor those in their personal or professional relationships. And so, for instance, what shared value can we align on that's going to help us move forward and also create sort of an agreement or guidelines around that value that we both have a voice in? So if we each have a voice, we're both more likely to respect that value and boundary. In that way, we can find our alignment and synergy and to resolve the conflict going forward. So I think a lot of times it's like, what can we, when you say find the common ground, that for us looks like the shared value.
So yeah, if you have a couple, say you have one couple who wants to communicate, one partner who wants to communicate on a regular basis throughout the day, they have more of an anxious attachment style. So they need that consistent like check-ins throughout the day. How are you? Whatever. Maybe you have another partner who's a little bit more on the independent avoidant side. And so they're more focused on work throughout the day. They don't want to communicate all day long. So we kind of have to figure out what works for the relationship as a whole and balance the two different types of relationship styles. And so that's where that negotiation comes into play of what works best for the relationship as a whole, so each partner feels heard and understood.
How do you navigate going through the values statement or identifying the values? How do you do that?
So our values are connected to our emotional needs. And so if I value communication, that's going to make me feel great. Or if I value integrity, that's going to make me feel also great. So if I, at any point in time, I'm engaging with someone personally or professionally in one of those values, I'm going to feel that like gut reaction in my stomach, or alarm's going to be going off if someone's not honoring that value, which they may not know about that value, but that's my cue to speak up and address that we need to talk about what that looks like in regards to honoring that value as well.
So we might say, you know, I'm feeling ignored right now when there's a lack of communication in our relationship. I really value communication. How can we figure out what works for us as a couple in regards to staying connected? But then that's where it becomes a negotiation process, and you start brainstorming ideas between the two of you.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Love all the things. So I have to ask, because I'm sure you guys get this stuff a lot, but because you guys are twins, did your parents set any boundaries with you guys in terms of like pretending to be the other one? Or was mom pretty astute on the subtle differences in your personalities and things like that, that you couldn't fake people out?
No, I don't think we really ever faked people out. Most people who know us, even though we have our differences, like Jillian's a detailed thinker and I'm a big picture thinker. So we play off of that with each other when it comes to working together. But I would say, I think one of the biggest things we took away from being twins growing up was having a we mindset. Our parents always made sure we considered each other, which is what we've also applied to our boundary formula, is having a we mindset and and elevating the connection and make sure each person is considered, because we've had to do that our entire lives.
I love it. Okay. So one of you, or maybe both of you, are microexpressions experts, and I geek out on this. So the work that I do, I don't know if you guys know my backstory, but, I'm currently in my doctorate for clinical sex therapy. I've worked with couples for 15 years. So I'm on the forefront of all things boundaries, microexpressions, all that stuff in terms of navigating in session. And I geek out on that. I've often thought about taking Ekman's class.
We've taken his class.
Yeah.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about how that plays into the work that you guys do in terms of the subtlety of recognizing when maybe somebody is feeling violated or maybe somebody is agreeing with something.
I think paying attention to people's facial expressions or even their body language, because that's our initial first reaction in regards to what we're thinking before we even speak. And typically body language and micro expressions, all that, it counts for 97% of the communication being exchanged, or 93%, sorry, of the words being, you know, communication being exchanged, over 7% words. And so if someone's basically showing us an expression, but their words are saying something else, you can more likely trust their expression or body language first and foremost, and then use that to your advantage to ask an open-ended question around that to make sure they actually believe what it is that they're saying and they actually truly meant what they said.
You know, these are the things that I frequently say. I wish this stuff was taught in school. Like, we come out of school not having a lot of tangible tools for life, right? Like, I didn't even know how to pay my taxes when I came out of math. Like, how do we go through all of school and come out not knowing how to pay taxes? Something that we literally have to do in the math world every single year.
Yeah, I agree with you. A lot of these basic life skills should be taught in schools, you know, and most of us did not learn boundaries. I mean, it's a newer thing. It wasn't taught in the home. It wasn't taught in school. And, you know, we have to have relationship conversations on a day-to-day basis, no matter if it's personal or professional. So yeah, I agree with you.
Absolutely true. Is there anything else that you guys would like to share with the listeners?
I think the biggest thing is learning to communicate from a place of value, because that's going to allow you to stay powerful versus feeling powerless, because values are universally understood, where if we communicate with our emotions, often it's one-sided in one perspective and the other person may not have the emotional capacity to understand where you're coming from. So therefore, if we communicate from values, it's much likely the other person can be receptive and won't feel attacked, and we're more likely to have that mutual understanding and respect and feel heard and understood.
And what about people who say, I don't know what I value. I have no idea what I don't know what my values are.
Yeah, that's very common. Most of the time when people come to us, they don't know what their value system is that they're operating by. And so we help them clarify their top five values to operate by looking at their current relationships or even past relationships where their needs were not being met. And usually you can see a theme of things that become very important to you. And so if we understand our emotional triggers, usually the opposite of our emotional trigger is the value that we need met in our relationships.
You know, something that's interesting is, so I do a lot of work with in the emotional fingerprinting, and I'm actually looking to have an emotional decoder on, but the emotional fingerprinting is amazing. It allows people that are not really sure to kind of get a high level on what their values really are. Mm-hmm. And then they can start to see how they become activated very quickly if their emotional fingerprint is being violated. So when their values are being violated, how quickly we are to kind of fly off the handle or become, you know, aggressive or defensive or stonewall or disengage or all the, you know, very not so great, not so skillful things that we do when we're activated. I love that as a tool too.
Right. So we really do help our clients understand their emotional triggers. And if they happen to go into a trauma response at that point in time, fight or flight or freeze or a fawn response. So we really help them identify those behaviors. And normally it can even relate back to an unresolved childhood wound usually. But then it's playing out in their relationships today.
For me, attachment-based therapist, it's always going back to those original learnings, you know, inevitably it's that primal wound every time. I love that. Such fascinating stuff. I totally geek out on this. It was really nice to have you guys on to kind of share some of the thoughts that I talk about all the time. Your book, tell me a little bit about your book, Boundary Badass.
Yeah. So our book is a self-development style book. So the first 10 chapters are all about self-development. There's also a chapter in us in regards to our personal journey and how we got started in boundaries. We kind of grew up in a small rural farm town of 900 people and moved to a city of 3 million, which was a huge culture shock for us. And we quickly learned we needed stronger boundaries because we were letting people into our life that weren't really in alignment with our value system. And so that was kind of a big learning curve for us. And then the rest of the chapters, there's another like 20 chapters that focus on all different types of boundaries. So there's sexual boundaries, couple boundaries, neighbor boundaries, digital boundaries, excessive.
Totally. And you know, the small town thing, talk about boundaries. I grew up in a small town myself. There are none.
Yes,
everyone knows everyone. That's right. And they expect that they should. That's the real kicker of it, right? It's like, you're not entitled to any privacy. Excuse me.
Well, I think the biggest thing was we had our family boundaries and we always heard and understood or respected by our parents or other people in our life. So I think when we got to a big city, we experienced more people with a me mindset who were very focused. We came from more of a family unity, or even our twinship was a unity type of thing. And so that was hard for us to experience people who didn't really consider what our needs were when we invited these people into our lives.
And so is the book a journey of your story, or is the book a journey of how to set better boundaries in your life?
So the book is a journey for everyone to figure out how to set better boundaries in their life. There's only one chapter that kind of focuses on our story. The rest is all about, we have in there from attachment styles, trauma responses. So we have everything in there that really covers us to why someone might not have boundaries in their life and how they can start setting them using our Boundary Badass method.
Good. When does the book come out?
We're releasing on March 28th.
Wow, that's exciting. My mom's birthday. How fun. And how can people get in contact with you? We do always include everything in the show notes, but how can people get in contact with you guys?
They can find us at janandjillian.com or boundarybadass.com. And then over on Instagram, we're at janandjillian.
Fantastic. Thank you guys so much for coming on. And I look forward to seeing more about your book when it comes out.
Thank you for having us.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
This has been a BU Find Happy podcast. For more inspiration, check out the links.